Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We would have with us Joel Skousen, from editor of World Affairs Brief. Joel, thank you so very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the issues you think are the most burning right at the present time?
Well, it appears from this week's events that the Bush administration is building a pretense for war in the Middle East again. Now, I'm not saying that it's imminent, but it's clearly indicating that they're fishing for excuses to justify some type of military intervention in both Iran and Syria. These both seem to be targeted. First of all, there was the hype concerning the explosion supposedly through close to the Russian-built Bashar nuclear plant. It happened to be in Dilam, 100 miles from that plant, so it really wasn't anything related at all with the nuclear program, but much of that was, of course, meant to get into the press as if this had something to do with, a nuclear explosion. There were all wild reports flying around about military preemptive strike aimed at the nuclear program or agent provocateurs. Ended up being a large explosion at a construction site there. So it really was a mountain out of a molehill, and yet there was a great deal of propaganda value put out in the media for it. In like manner, of course, we had the assassination of recently former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafi Hariri, and Washington recalls its ambassador to Damascus, Margaret Scobie, who announces that she's demanding Syria pull its troops out of Lebanon, which, as I've reported in the briefs, has been an ongoing thing, more show rather than reality, of 16,000 troops. They've shifted several back to just across the border into Syria, which the U.S. doesn't feel, and I'm in agreement with that, isn't a real true withdrawal. But suspiciously, you know, we have a blame it on Syria mentality, or blame it on al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is the whipping boy of preference. Anytime you want to get American public support for the what I call a phony war on terror, you bring up the specter of al-Qaeda. Better yet, as Pepe Escobar of Asian Times said, blame it on both Syria and al-Qaeda without a shred of evidence. And you profit, of course, from the feeling, of course, that this was a planned assassination. And I have some real, reservations about whether or not this really was something directly planned by the Assad administration in Syria. You know, Assad has been bending over backwards to make sure he doesn't antagonize the U.S. Because he knows the U.S. is looking for a provocation of war. It really would be the height of stupidity to do this kind of high-powered explosion if you're going to take out someone like a high-profile figure. It just doesn't fit. I mean, Syria, for example, has the finest snipers outside of Israel in the Middle East. They could have done a targeted assassination. They could have done any numbers of ways. In fact, Rafiq Hariri was just in Damascus last week with talking with Assad, who he apparently has fairly good relationships. He did break with the Assad government over the current...
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I want to remind you, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, out across America, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls. With us this afternoon is Joel Skousen, editor of World Affairs Brief. We're talking about the recent assassination in Beirut, this Lebanese leader who wanted, of course, to force the Syrians to pull their troops out of his country. And, of course, we're pointing and saying, oh, the Syrians did it, the Syrians did it. But there seems to be a lot of question as to who really did this. In fact, there was an article posted on World Affairs Brief just yesterday by somebody writing from the Royal Institute of International Affairs in England, the English counterpart of the Council on Foreign Relations. That article suggested that this was the work of an intelligence agency, a very powerful, well-financed, very well-trained intelligence agency, not the work of the Syrians, or not the sort of things that they would have done. And, of course, his suggestion, and this is really what's so strange, coming out of the something part of the power elite that rules the world, was that America would be the one country that would have a real benefit from creating an incident that would justify going to war with Syria. So pick up the story from there.
Well, there are more than a few who are, the Arabs themselves, the Arab press, is very much calling this a major intelligence agent provocateur bombing. It has the fingerprints of certain bombings that have occurred, both in Baghdad. In fact, one of the writers said, this was from Asia Times Online, an increasingly important news source who does tend to get a lot of inside information, but they're claiming that sources in Baghdad close to the Sunni triangle of resistance, as well as the Shiite sources in Najaf, have said that there's been a wave of mysterious car bombings in Iraq that have not been apparently done by any of the insurgents. And they're wondering who's doing this. I mean, who's helping us out, so to speak. But they're beginning to wonder now if these are being perpetrated not by terrorists, as the U.S. claims, but rather by either Central Intelligence Agency or Israeli black ops connected to American mercenaries with the intent of fueling sectarian tensions.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Joel Skousen, our guest this afternoon, is commenting that at least in certain parts of Iraq, we see all these car bombings, and of course, we don't know who's doing them, and they may very well be being done by the terrorists, but since the primary thrust of American foreign policy is to justify keeping our troops in the Middle East and to justify expanding the war in the Middle East, and we can't expand the war if we don't have our troops there, why, is it conceivable that they would actually, people within intelligence agencies or maybe the Israeli Mossad, would be carrying out some of these car bombings, which, at least according to Joel, the resistance is saying, we're not doing it. Who is it? Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yes, it isn't that they aren't doing car bombings, but they haven't done some of the car bombings, and they're wondering who is doing it, because there's more and more connectivity between the various insurgents, and they're not displeased with it, except for the fact that it's becoming obvious to them that somebody else is in the mix, trying to stir up even more tension between Sunnis and Shiites. And this dovetails with this election results. One of the interesting things that I noticed here in the fine print when I looked through the election results is the fact that there's a two-thirds requirement for any coalition to put together a slate of who's going to rule in this constitutional convention, the designation of president, prime minister, and various other cabinet officials. You know, that was obviously a U.S. provision that was put in before this election took place, rubber-stamped by the Alawi regime, but it's very convenient. Nobody in any democracy puts forth a two-thirds majority to rule, this guarantees that, in fact, what it basically means, the U.S. knows that the Shiites are going to get the majority, and so it stops them from ruling, in essence, because you require a two-thirds majority, and so you have to have a huge compromise. Pepe Escobar of Asia Times calls this the Lebanization of Iraq instead of the opposite. What he means by that is you've set up a certain set of criteria that guarantees, as in Lebanon, you're going to have a president who is Maronite Christian, and you're going to have a Sunni as a prime minister, and you're going to have a Shiite as something else, and it's going to be a recipe for conflict because, in essence, nobody can agree on anything.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing here in America, encouraging all the immigration so we can play one group against the other, black against white, Hispanic against white. And, of course, over there, if they had a peaceful transition and a stable government, how could we justify keeping our troops there?
You see, have the appearance of democracy, but in fact this is very much controlled conflict, and democracy is used as a pretense for being there, a pretense of legitimacy. But in fact, I think that the United States is using conflict to build a pretense for war. You know, for many, many years, and it hasn't been just recently, it hasn't even been as late as World War II that governments have realized the potential of using agent provocateurs to have planned explosions and conflicts. Whether it's, remember, the Maine clear back in the Spanish-American War, there's a great deal of evidence surfacing that that was a pre-planned event in order to force American participation, or to encourage participation done by our own black ops in no time. The same thing goes with, of course, World War II. The major event, Pearl Harbor, getting U.S. involvement, was, in fact, we know now, a planned event by the Roosevelt administration, a 6- or 8-point plan to force Japan to attack the United States through cutting off its oil supply and other things, which left Japan, in its own appearances, with nothing to do but to attack the United States.
Well, if somebody cut off our oil supplies, we would have to go to war. That's exactly what we did to Japan. It was an act of war, and then we were surprised that they attacked us, those dirty Japanese.
Well, of course, we know it wasn't a surprise. Even that has been admitted. And, of course, Day of Deceit by Robert Stinnett, which I believe your organization carries that book.
We carry that book, and we also carry a 4-tape set, including a 2-hour interview with Robert Stinnett, another hour interview with John Tobin. Certainly, Tobin is gone now, but wonderful, wonderful parts of history. And you'll realize they knew exactly what was going to happen, and they left those boys at Pearl Harbor to die.
That's right, and we had, you know, provocations during the Vietnam War. Apparently the Tonkin Gulf incident was a manufactured incident as well. So I'm not surprised that this particular horrendous explosion in Beirut is to bring Syria and Lebanon back into the forefront. Now, Syria has, this is an area that the U.S. can deal with in some strength or confidence of knowing what they're going to, what the result is going to be. There's no way that Syria is going to let loose of Lebanon. Lebanon, under the Maronite Christians, tended to be an ally of Israel, and a very, you know, fair-weather ally. In fact, Israel betrayed the Maronite Christian militia that was in southern Lebanon, and Hezbollah took them all to the cleaners after Israel withdrew, so I'm not sure how much good feelings there is left between the betrayal or the Lebanon Christians' feelings of betrayal towards Israel. But certainly this is going to be a focal point in the next regional war, is Lebanon. A lot of people on the left keep claiming that Israel would like to go in and reclaim Lebanon, and that's why they staged this assassination. It very well may be that Israeli Mossad was involved in this assassination as an agent provocateur, but certainly they would have done so, in my opinion, in concert with the CIA, which there's a seamless relationship, has been for many, many years. And so it's very, very difficult to tell whether or not anything that the Mossad does is on its own or with CIA backing. I mean, it's just like China's continual funneling of military technology to China. I'm convinced that this is, in fact, a backdoor program of the United States government. You know, occasionally we hear rumblings within the U.S. government complaining about China and its militarization. It's never backed by the Bush administration, but certain elements very much controlled by the Bush administration, such as Porter Goss and the CIA, came out this past week with a rather strong diatribe against China. Very justified, in my opinion, talking about its growing militarism being a threat to regional security. It, of course, gave China an excuse to come in and take great umbrage at that suggestion, saying that they had not used their military in anything but peaceful purposes, and that it adds to regional stability. Of course, we know that that certainly won't last for long. But strangely enough, you have an abject yes-man of the Bush administration saying one thing, and then that gives the Bush administration an excuse to come back and say, oh, we're not concerned about China, it's a great ally in the war on terror.
But this has really been going on since the Nixon administration. We've done everything we could to build up the military capacity, to build up the financial capacity, the competitive capacity of China, communist China, which is intent upon destroying America, which doesn't make any sense unless there's another agenda that they don't dare tell the American people.
Well, that's right, and you and I believe that there is a globalist agenda of which having a world war targeting the United States is a very real part of that agenda in order to force the world into fighting a new world war on behalf of the United Nations. That will be a certainty if the U.S. is the recipient of a preemptive strike that takes out the largest portion of our military, which is what I am predicting sometime after the end of this decade. But with that said, it's important to understand that I think the Bush administration, by making these periodic assaults or warnings on China, and some have come from Rumsfeld, some have come from Porter Goss, all of these are predictable, either dark side operators within the government or globalists within the government. You know, it's like speaking out of both sides of your mouth. I think they're setting the stage so that they can say, we told you so, we warned you about China, but Congress didn't do anything about it. Well, you know, they're giving a little bit of warning, but nobody's taking up the drumbeat because the media, in lockstep with globalism, will not make it an issue, and neither will the Bush administration. In the same sense, of course, they are busy funneling military technology and assistance to Russia and China through the back door. So who would you believe? Do they really believe that the U.S. is, or that China is a danger? Do we really believe that the CIA is, in fact, independent from the Bush administration and is giving out warnings in opposition to what the Bush administration wants? I don't think so. I think that these are posturings for show.
I think sort of a method of confusing the American people. On one hand, the Chinese are our allies and good, and on the other hand, they're our enemies. And what happens is the average American shrugs. He can't fathom what's going on, because if you give people too much conflicting information, you get cognitive dissonance, and this is really what's happening today. People have lost their ability to think and to reason.
Yes, and it's a difficult process to not only alternative points of view, but it's very difficult when there's deception involved, when you have a person like government or an organization like the United States government speaking out of both sides of its mouth, pretending to do some things verbally, and then having the opposite effect in its actions.
And of course, I think the important thing is we are doing everything we can to build up the economic potential of communist China. We are encouraging our industries to move over there, not only by allowing them to borrow money, but by guaranteeing if they lose their property, if it's nationalized, if they will be rewarded, not only with getting back the money they've invested, but maybe even two or three times. At least I was told that by a congressman who had the courage to speak out and was immediately voted out of office. And then we give them special tax breaks, and then of course they don't have to put up with the EPA or environmental things, or they can get slave labor and they can produce the prices, the products far cheaper there. Why wouldn't any company move over to communist China when the government is doing everything they can to encourage it on one hand, and then pointing out the danger of communism with the other, of at least of China with the other militarily?
But you see, another interesting example is Time Magazine. Now, Time Magazine is a globalist, pro-globalist media organization that's always fronted for this agenda of government, and now it's talking about the booming Russian spy business. They're sounding the warning again.
They have 1,000 spies all over America watching what we're doing. Hey, I thought they were allies. We'll be right back in just a moment with Sydney and Joel Skousen here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Roseto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol, 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joel Skousen, editor of World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before I get so wrapped up in what we're doing that I forget, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and get the copies of your material and, of course, hopefully subscribe to the World Affairs Brief as I do.
Well, the World Affairs Brief can be viewed online at my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. My researchers post all of the stories each day that I'll be analyzing at the end of the week in the World Affairs Brief. It's a modest subscription fee of $36 a year, and you can subscribe right online by clicking on the subscribe button. If you don't have access to the web, you can call a toll-free number and get a free sample of the latest copy of the World Affairs Brief. That's toll-free 877-518 877-518-5888.
All right, fine. And let me suggest that I hope many of you out there, if you have access to the Internet, will do as I do. First thing in the morning after I've done my emails, I go to World Affairs Brief and just scan down, and you'll find some fascinating material there. You won't have to spend hours on the Internet. They've done all the research for you, and believe me, the information there is great. Well, we've certainly been talking about the use of the agent provocateur technique. This has been used standard. In fact, Plato said it so well 2,350 years ago, when the tyrant has disposed of his enemies by conquest or treaty, and there's nothing to fear from them, he's then always out rousting up another enemy so that the people will need a leader. We always have to have an enemy incident so that the people will rally behind the government. So pick up the story there.
Well, you know, even though these pro-government shills, as I call them, like Time Magazine, will blow the whistle on whether it's China or booming Russian spy business, they always understate the threat. They want to state that there is a threat so that when this thing blows up in our face, that they can say, well, we warned you. But they always understate it so that the public will not, in fact, get upset. For example, they report now that Russia currently runs more than 100 known spies under official cover in the U.S. Well, what they're basically saying is that a large portion of your official personnel at all of the embassies are spies, just as in our embassies. Almost everyone working in the Foreign Service, not everyone, but high-level people, are agents of the CIA, and other governments know that as well. And, of course, the U.S. says there's an unknown number of so-called non-official cover agents who work as businessmen, journalists, or academics. Actually, a lot of these people also work in our universities, have access to our weapons labs, like Los Alamos has an ongoing exchange program with both Russia and China to allow scientists from those countries to operate in our weapons labs. You and I couldn't even get inside those weapons labs.
Oh, no, because they have to protect us. But we can let the communists from China and Russia in there. What's wrong with this picture?
In fact, we, with all the talk of immigration reform, the administration decided they're going to loosen up one particular requirement, tighten up everything else, they say. I've yet to see that. But they're going to loosen up one thing, and that's the visas for educational visas, to make it easier for people to get educational visas to come to the United States to study. What they're really doing is targeting the growing number of people from Russia and China who need educational positions at U.S. universities in order to transfer technology to those countries.
Exactly what they're doing. And why would we be building up the technology of countries that are potentially our enemy? Why, as we've done financially, and of course with transfer of technology, we're creating the best enemies American money and technology can buy.
In other news this week, Dr. Stan, it looks like a big scandal is coming on the prescription drug benefits from the Bush administration. Not only was last week's announcement of the budget a huge sham, the president called this $2.5 trillion budget lean and mean. It was anything but that.
And if said he was going to cut government spending, and yet the budget was for more money than last year, and most of the important things are off budget, aren't even included in the budget, like $89 billion for Iraq.
That's right, as well as the... the impact of making the tax cuts permanent, which I do support, but it is relatively irresponsible when you keep spending like money is water. They probably create it like water, but in any case, and then you continue to cut taxes. They're doing everything that they can possible to make sure that the policies of the Bush administration are not opposed by the American people. We certainly wouldn't want American taxpayers to feel the pain of the war in Iraq, and that's why we're not making us pay for it. Now, eventually down the road, we will, an increased inflation.
And in fact, it almost looks like they're doing everything they can to destroy the stability of our American currency. In fact, you even had an article this week that over in Russia, the people are getting out of the dollars. The Russian people are getting out of the dollars. They're getting into euros. They don't trust the American dollar. We'll be right back with Joel Skousen.
tapes at Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest today is Joel Skousen, editor of the World Affairs Brief, and you must understand that a lot of things are going on that just don't make any sense if you look at things logically. If you understand that there are forces working behind the scenes that have an entirely different agenda, and that we're moving towards world government, and the only way we're going to get there is with a great war, and I believe that war is coming, but we can't let the American people know what lies ahead. We'll have to just sort of surprise them one day. So we're having real problems economically. As I mentioned, one of the articles on Joel's webpage pointed out that in Russia, the average people have ordinarily kept the American dollars for themselves because the currency was stable and they didn't want to have it. The value of their currency wiped out, as happened in the early 1990s, when the Russian currency completely lost its value and the lifelong savings of most of the people in Russia were wiped out. So they've been saving dollars, but now they're beginning to get out of dollars. They're a lot smarter than the American people because they want to get into the euros. They want to get something that's holding its value, and the American dollars lost considerable value. That was a fascinating article, Joel.
Well, still the hidden story behind that is the fact that the U.S. is still flooding Russia with dollars. There still is that courier flight that goes over from JFK every month with just bundles of $100 bills, and that, of course, goes to the Russian hierarchy, and it filters down through the Russian economy, through the black market, and that's why people end up with dollars. It isn't that they're turning in rubles for dollars, most of them. This is the filtered down black market sources, and those people are starting to divest themselves slowly. It isn't a real flood because, obviously, the euro is not in sufficient quantities around the world that it can absorb all the dollars and But it is a trend, certainly, and Alan Greenspan has been working on trying to curtail that by giving the appearance of fiscal responsibility, raising interest rates a little bit each quarter, and he gives every indication he's going to continue that, because obviously, even though he says inflation is in check, it's not in check. When you look at the money out there chasing big homes in the United States, there's still an awful lot of money out there that's coming down the pipeline from those that are on the receiving end of government.
Amen to that. Well, let's go to Fred, who's calling us from Pennsylvania. Fred, did you have a question for our listeners, for our guest today?
Yes. I wanted to bring up something in the security realm, not financial and not war, but I was wondering if people were aware. It seems to be a press blackout on the fact that Canada has put into effect a draconian law like the Patriot Act, and there was a tremendous amount of uproar in the parliament there, but it was still rammed through, and the technique used was the same as secrecy, and the misleading statements were the same kind of a technique used as down here.
In other words, it's a massive expansion of government control over the individual in the name of fighting terrorism?
Right. No habeas corpus, and all that sort of stuff.
All right, let's get Joel. Had you acquainted with this at all, Joel?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Canada really is very much a yes man to the globalist New World Order, and they will follow suit, even though they will protest things that the Americans do, they usually follow suit. So I'm in complete agreement. It's a very good warning he issued.
Well, I also wanted to ask you, Joel, I just so happened that I have a book by Mark Skousen from, I think, around 81 on privacy. Are you, or were you related to Mark Skousen?
Yes, Mark is my brother.
Okay.
Okay, that's all.
Thanks very much. Let's go to
you.
Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred.
Yes, good afternoon. I wanted to ask Joel if he was aware of I was reading here one of the main reasons that we really had to go into Iraq was for water. The Tigris-Euphrates River was pretty much the key to the whole water supply for the whole Middle East. And did you know much about that at all?
Well, I'm not sure that is the driving force. Certainly, it does provide a chokehold, even upon portions of Iran who depend on that. So certainly there are strategic purposes. I have not seen that the administration has been choking off any supplies, but certainly they are in a position to do so at some future time, and that would certainly come into play if we went to war with Iran, which looks like a near certainty in this latter half of this decade.
But, Fred, I think they're putting out a lot of disinformation, a lot of confusing information, conflicting information, anything other than let you know this was planned long, long before the 9/11 attack. And, of course, they had specific geopolitical reasons for wanting to go in there. And I really believe the real reason, although oil played certainly a significant part, was in preparation for creating World War III. How else would you turn the entire Islamic world against the United States? How else would you get a situation where today more children are being born throughout the Muslim world called Osama than ever before, that people look to Osama as the Mahdi, the leader of Islam? We can thank the United States policy for doing that. Osama never could have done that on his own. Hey, thanks. Anything else, Fred?
No, I think that for right now, I think that's it.
Would you agree or disagree with what I said, Joe?
Well, certainly. Even the U.S. is using it now. You know, they're talking about how we're creating a greater insurgency in Iraq, and it's spreading to Lebanon now. In other words, that these insurgents are using their expertise gained in Iraq, and tying that to the Lebanese explosion that happened in Beirut. So, you know, rather than decry the fact that their own occupation is doing that, they're basically using that as an excuse to justify more intervention around the world in the name of fighting a growing war on terrorism, which they themselves are. It's rather circular reasoning, but it's very effective.
That's how you create the best enemy that your tax dollars can buy. And, of course, inflame the hatreds of Muslims throughout the world, in the Middle East, and right here in the United States. Well, why don't you go ahead, Jill?
Well, I didn't get to finish my thought on the prescription drug benefit scam.
That's so important. Go ahead.
It's amazing how the United States has understated this estimate. Everyone knew or suspected that the $400 billion 10-year cost of the prescription drug benefit was low. But now that it's coming in at $750 billion, perhaps much more, I mean, we're probably looking at $1 trillion in the next 10 years, given the inflationary tendencies of these drug companies to, you know, cover for their liability cost with these drugs. But this is a real scam, and some, you know, heads should fall over this, you know, that the Congress has been misled. Of course, the Congresses want to be misled.
It's a popular program. Well, they were lied to. They were told it was going to cost $400 billion over a 10-year period, and that it was going to cost $590 billion over a 10-year period. What's it up to, about $800 billion now or so?
Well, what I'm saying is they were all too willing to not press this issue, to vote it down and saying these are not realistic figures. They could have done that.
Sure.
There were people who suspected that, but I'm convinced that, you know, much of our opposition within Congress now is just mere feigned opposition, that people really do want to go along. They just don't want to let their constituents know that they're going along with something in the administration. Oftentimes they play this role of voting against something that they know will pass anyway, or they vote for something that they know will get defeated so that they can register that I voted for this, you see, I tried. But it's feigned opposition or feigned support.
And so they play games with our reality.
There's an awful lot of immunity floating around Congress now. One of the latest things is the makers of MTBE, which, you know, the very disastrous, environmentally harmful material added to gasoline, supposed to increase mileage and lower pollution, has turned out to be a disaster. Environmentally, to the water supplies, turning up in water supplies all over California.
That was a carcinogen. So we wanted to purify the air, so we put something into the gasoline that contaminated the air and produced cancer in our water. You know, how could you, the government, be so stupid unintentionally? These are not stupid people.
Well, now the American Petroleum Institute, lobbying for the large oil companies, said the industry should not be sued for making a defective product because the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency required the additive mixed into gasoline. Well, I think the heads ought to roll within the government, too, for requiring this.
Oh, but nobody is ever punished in government. They usually get a bonus and get promoted.
That's right. But I am not for giving immunity to lawsuits to any of these people because they knew better. They should have been resisting the call. In fact, these people were out there lobbying the government to make sure that this thing did get passed, just like ADM was lobbying the Bush administration to pass his latest State of the Union initiative about more, you know, use of alcohol in fuels.
Right. And of course, that was really Arthur Daniels Midland's gimmick. They gave, I think, a couple of $100,000 to Robert Dole, who was the Senate majority leader at the time, and he got the legislation through that said you had to put in these products, either ethanol or MTBE, into the gasoline to make it more pure. Now, neither one of them made it more pure. They were both a disaster. And Robert Dole, nobody would ever accuse him of being a dishonest politician just because he accepted a couple of $100,000 for, well, it wasn't for him, it was for his foundation for crippled children. Wasn't that nice of Arthur Daniels Midland? And they made at least several billion dollars off the ethanol, the alcohol they provided for the ethanol. It really makes you almost heartsick to realize how corrupt things are in Washington, D.C. But where is the outcry from the American people? And why is Robert Dole honored, and why is his wife a United States Senator today?
Yes. You know, another interesting thing my researchers found out is that Computer Sciences Corporation is selling off portions of DynCorp International. The DynCorp, you know, is the mercenary group of dark side operators that I've long warned against. What's interesting, they're selling it to Veritas Capital. Now, this is just a financial group headed by Robert B. McCune. McCune just happens to be, you know, very big in financial circles. He's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. But what is most interesting is that they're selling off their legitimate aspects of DynCorp, which are the maintenance contracts for military aircraft that they're doing. You know, they, as if they don't get a good enough deal paying military people to maintain these aircraft after spending hundreds of thousands of dollars training them. They pay millions of dollars to let private contractors do the maintenance on these aircraft in these certain areas, and then they sell off this very profitable portion. That means the Computer Sciences Corporation is, in fact, keeping the dark side section of DynCorp, and it looks like that Veritas probably is going to turn around and market these more legitimate non-dark side operations of DynCorp, since, in other words, DynCorp started out using these as the headliners to deflect criticism about its mercenary operations because they were doing legitimate services for the military. Now that apparently DynCorp is a mature mercenary organization, it appears that it's okay to sell off the front organization portions of DynCorp.
And of course, this is, they're tied into the black operations. They hire, special forces people. People are trained in killing and assassination, and they use them as contract agents. Well, let's go to Jim in calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Good evening.
I have a question for our guest.
Yes, sir. I had heard recently, I think they still use leaded gas in England. Is that true?
I don't know.
I know that we do not use leaded gas here in the United States because of the terrible complications of lead as far as it's the brains, it attacks the mind. But don't you worry, they're adding lead to your water along with the fluoride. That's an active part of agreement. And the hydrofluorosilicic acid we're putting in drinking water all across America in the name of helping the children's caries cavities. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I wondered if I hear so much about Kyoto and people criticize in the major media, President Bush always gets criticized for backing out of that, but since didn't the Senate vote about 95 or 98 to nothing against Kyoto?
Yes, it was a very strong message that they did not want to accept the Kyoto Treaty.
And of course the reason is because Kyoto has nothing to do with global warming. It has to do with an attack on the financial infrastructure of the United States. And if we were, of course, to ratify the treaty and adhere to its specifications, why we would have to drop our energy use to less than it was in 1990, and it would destroy the whole industrial infrastructure of the United States, and that's what it's really all about. And of course it will be eventually introduced here as we move to impoverish the American people.
I think it would be worthwhile, Mr. Skousen, if you have the that might be worth investigating for your brief.
Well, now, what specifically were you thinking of, Jim?
Well, the whole idea of if these other countries that are criticizing us about Kyoto are still using leaded gasoline.
All right.
Oh, that's a very interesting point. That would be hypocritical, all right.
All right.
Sir?
Thanks very much, Jim. Anything else you wanted to say?
Oh, no. Oh, other than I finished Brotherhood of Darkness, and it's amazing. You could probably write a whole book on every chapter.
I just don't have the time, but God bless. Thanks so much.
No,
bye-bye.
Very good. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Well, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, that the Bush administration is starting to use Kyoto to fund certain things. They've put in several hundred million dollars for the funding of certain relationships with global warming. And really, if you look closely at what they're doing, it ends up being dispersing funding to certain corporations all in the name of pleasing the environmentalists. So they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, it looks like.
Well, I certainly, some of the things that they have done, I would commend. I'm glad that they didn't sign Kyoto, but I said that Kyoto does not influence China, the biggest polluter in the world. It doesn't influence them at all. It doesn't influence India or any of the third world countries that have massive pollution. It is only an attack on the infrastructure of the United States. Well, we got about two more minutes before we have to wrap the program up. What would you like to cover?
Probably Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, the Marxist president of Venezuela, is really on a roll now. He's starting to talk about re-election in the next one. He's talking about his Bolivarian revolution, his plans for land reform, social justice, redistribution of wealth. The rise in oil prices really benefited Hugo Chavez. He wasn't able during the past 5 or 6 years to fulfill all of the social welfare benefit problems he made, but now the money is really flowing in from oil sales, he's starting to beef up and is winning a lot of support from its benefit-corrupted classes. Another interesting comment, though, is that, there's been this tacit war of words between Colombia and Venezuela. Colombia under Uribe, which is essentially a pro-globalist president. But now it looks like that these are Siamese twins. Chavez is complimenting Uribe on the same goals, destiny, and direction that he has.
Well, I think, of course, with we look at the South and Central America as a seething pot of revolution and anti-Americanism. Hey, we're out of time, but we'll look forward to talking to you again later this evening, Joel. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome, Dr.
Oh, bye-bye.
Our tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Radio Liberty, and if you're interested in knowing more about the assassination of an American president, about the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, we have two fascinating four-tape sets. The first is, of course, a four-tape set that contains an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, not an interview I did, but it's important to hear Lee Harvey Oswald. And when you begin to realize, of course, that he's a very intelligent individual. In fact, I'm firmly convinced he was working for our intelligence agencies. And he was over in Russia for specific purposes. He was brought back here and then set up as the patsy. And that's, in fact, what Lee Harvey Oswald said. I am the patsy. And, of course, we have a four-tape set. It includes 2 hours with interviews with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was immortalized in the Oliver Stone film as the colonel who sat on the bench and said to Jim Garrison, the crusading attorney from New Orleans, I know, of course, that the government was involved in murdering the president. Then an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was actually at Parkland Hospital on the day of the assassination. He was warned and told he would never be allowed to practice medicine if he told what he saw that day. Well, 25 years later, he tells his story, and you'll hear it there on the first of our two-tape sets. The second two-tape set is the JFK assassination update, an interview with Madeleine Duncan Brown, who was the mistress for Lyndon Johnson, and she tells about the meeting beforehand, the meeting the night before, who was there as they planned the assassination, and then, of course, some much other information on the second tape set. We carry the book, Without Smoking Gun, about the assassination of Lieutenant Commander William Pitzer. We carry a sniper looks at Dealey Plaza kill zone. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Get this excellent information. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we will appreciate if you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because this is how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day on radio somewhere in America, 5 hours every day on the Internet, 5 hours every day on satellite, 4 hours every day on shortwave. But we couldn't do it without your help. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs live on the Internet 3 hours a day, or pull down our archive programs. And then, of course, you can link to the other networks we're on, because we're on about three or four different networks. Then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to getting a case of my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Now, ordinarily, the book retails at $12.95, and we still sell single copies, and we will continue selling them at that price. But we have a special deal. We're going to reprint the book, and we can get the price way down if we can get enough of the books printed. So we will sell anybody out there in the listening audience a case of books with 62 books in it for $124 plus shipping, and it will be about $25 for shipping. It'll be a couple of months before you get the books because they aren't printed yet, but once, of course, we start printing, why, this offer ends for a good long time, and until we have to do another printing. But what we want to do is get as many books out as we possibly can, and you know, at a couple of dollars a book, why, you can afford to give them out or lend them, and if they don't give them back, you don't worry. Try to get people to read the book and to consider the message of the book. We're involved in a spiritual battle. And you're not being told this. Your ministers aren't telling you that. A lot of them don't even understand what this is really about. There really are dark and sinister spiritual forces. There are demonic forces. There is another dimension out there, and it's really very, very real. And many of our leaders, of course, have sold their souls to the devil. Now, if you want to get the case of books, $124 plus $25 shipping. You'll get 62 books. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're over halfway there and selling the cases we have to get the price down to where we can make this offer. I'm sure we're going to move them because, of course, we're going to put this out in our coming newsletter. That goes to 1,500 people across America. So I'm sure we'll sell the others without any difficulty. But our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to get a case of the books. And then if you haven't seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 4-hour or the 10-hour versions. You need to get that. And you need to show it to your children to understand that they're bringing the devil's music into the rooms when they're listening to the rock and roll or going to the concerts or watching MTV. And then they're also bringing it into our churches because it's the same identical music. You need to watch. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3, 4, or 10-hour version. You need to get Megiddo 1. You need to get Megiddo 2. You need to get my new tape, my new video. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. That's None Dare Call It Genocide. Those of you who attended our conference will want to get the video talk by Bill Sardi about corruption in the drug industry, and we'll be making that available. It's a brand new video we'll be carrying. You'll certainly want to get the video Secrets of the Illuminati, which is basically the story of the Brotherhood of Darkness, but in much more detail. You'll want to get our 4-tape set on depleted uranium. You'll want to get our 2 4-tape sets on fluoride. You'll want to get our 4-tape set on Operation Keelhaul or on Skull and Bones or the Bohemian Grove or all sorts of things. If you give us a call, we'll send you a catalog. You need to have this information. You need to help us get it out across America. You need to get our new video that we have on fluoride. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.